We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the five hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters? Official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells of said newsletter and your host of this craziness every week. We are coming. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. That's where you can get to the newsletter as well. We are coming to you again after a Bears win. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation. So we'd better get to it. Leading off with Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. And he is the, I almost called you the commissioner. You're the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
I'm joining the Navy.
You can join your fellow man. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our technical supervisor and our supervising technician, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. He's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He's the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park, and he hasn't had pants in a couple weeks. It's Fifth Feather John.
And may not for the rest of the year.
And may not. You can't find Fifth Feather on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. So I started last week's podcast by regaling our listener with the story of before the Cincinnati game, Slack was on his usual Sunday morning tech storm and telling us that Bears fans had no right to get picky about wins, which we all agreed with. And then the Bears spent that Sunday testing that theory. Little did we know they would spend a second straight Sunday testing that theory. But here we are, feeling pretty good. It's 6-3. Hard to be upset.
Not upset, but I was upset for a portion of the game. I'm not going to pretend.
I was upset for most of it.
If you're not human, if you weren't sitting there thinking, come on. Yeah, what is this? Come on. It reminded me very much of the old Lions. And I remember, I'm sure you guys remember this as well, before they came good, they would have leads and you'd say, they're going to blow it.
Right.
And they always blew it. Always.
We remember, most people remember, the team is bad. They think they just lose every week 38-10. And it's not the case in the NFL.
No.
Got to get creative sometimes.
So, and if you're the Giants, they get real creative.
The road to 0-17 is paved with mishaps.
I was pretty angry about the game for three quarters. I thought it was stupid.
I think everybody was.
And annoying, and couldn't understand how the Bears could be fucking this up. But then they won, and I still agree with Slack that I can't really get picky about it because they won, and I'm used to them losing.
Right.
So they already have more wins than they did last year. They have more wins than they did the year before that. They have more wins than the year they did before that.
I definitely also said during the game, during the bad parts of the game, even if they win this game, I remember saying this to myself, even if they win this game, I think I'm going to be mad. And then they won the game and I was not mad.
I was not mad, but I wasn't as I wrote, I wasn't as elated over a last second win as I was the week before, perhaps because I'd used most of those points the week before and having to do it again for a second straight week against a unacceptable opponent.
I got more hyped as the win set in, if that makes sense.
But I am just as relaxed and feeling good as I did after the Cincinnati game and the days after. Because then Monday and Tuesday hit. We record this on Tuesday. And I still feel pretty good. Now, I am not so stupid to think it's all going to carry over to Sunday. I have no idea. We will get to that, I assume. But, all pretty dumb, but the league is dumb. And I think every year we do this show every year before I turn things over to John's yellow pad. But I think every year we forget that how dumb overwhelming majority of the league is. This is what the NFL is. It's 25 to 26 mediocre to bad teams hacking at each other in bad football. And then a few of them win more than the others but they're only better by the others by a few degrees, a play here and there. And every year we forget this, and then people complain that it doesn't look like the two or three teams that don't have to do this, but they're not supposed to be one of those two or three teams. They're part of the rabble. They just come out on the good half of the rabble so far.
Here's a fun way to frame it is, and I was listening to some things today. The expectations aren't high in Chicago and in the locker room. So everything they're doing is exciting to the group, and it's galvanizing them and making them feel belief and all that good stuff. That same record for a team that was expected to win 12, 13 games is less galvanizing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So it's sort of the lack of expectations helps this whole thing, because everybody can kind of feel like, okay, this wasn't, I don't think they were supposed to win 6 of their first 9 games under Ben Johnson. I certainly didn't think they were going to.
You
not after they lost the first 2.
You thought they would win way 0. Less than that.
Yeah, well, and yeah, John, you're right. After they lost the first 2 and the way they lost the second one specifically, the first one was just, you know, same old Bears. The second one was like, oh my God. And he flushed all that pretty quickly. And I think, you know, it's this is the time where we should be looking ahead. I think I made a point last week to say this multiple times, like, this is not the finished product, and this is not a quarterback that is fully formed. This isn't an offense that's got all the shit in yet. This is the beginning of something. This was like the, let me show you some things. We'll probably screw up some things, but we'll give you enough to kind of dream on what's to come.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it, Slack? And we run into this with the other team in town we like to talk about, is that when you're covering a team and you're discussing a team that is a project, is building towards something that is off in the distance, you can't show up every day or every week and just say, well, we don't know about any of this till we get to the end. You have to come up with something. You have to project. You have to talk about what you're seeing at that moment. And what you're seeing at that moment will have different context for the Bears in 2 games, in 4 games, in 2026. But you can't talk about the context right now because you don't have it. You just have to talk about what's right here. And I think this is where some of your frustration lies.
I'm frustrated with just the, yeah, the...
Your frustration with the coverage, not with the Bears. Your frustration with the coverage. I should be more clear.
Right. And yes, very much so.
When we say, like, well, this is what it looks like now, we don't know how that fits into Caleb Williams' overall career. We're not there yet. So we can all say, and other people can say, well, he's doing this, but he's not doing this, and that's all we know. And it sounds like, and sometimes it is, you're not wrong to say that. There are people who are saying it. Sometimes it sounds like it is what this is now, and then because this is the only evidence I have, this is what it will be forever, which is silly. But sometimes it's people saying this is what we have now, and we don't know what it means for the future, which isn't any reassuring.
Well, for those who know, I have a 6-month-old baby, and I get through these trying times by telling myself and my wife that this is what she is now. But in a month, she'll be different, and she'll be doing more things. And it's like that. If you are like that closed-minded to think that whatever it's like object permanence or something, I don't know. Like you can't project at all. Like, what's the point? Why wouldn't you allow yourself to dream a little bit? And why do the people who cover this team insist on pissing on our Cheerios after games that they won? I don't understand. I think that's the narrative is turning. I should be clear. That's pretty,
I think it is, but slowly.
It's turning for sure. I went and dove into some of the coverage this week on some of the national outlets and just seeing what people are saying. And yeah, you're not hearing anyone say Bo Nix is a better quarterback anymore. You're not hearing people say Michael Penis is a better quarterback.
Well, isn't that cowboy computer guy still trying to tell?
He is persona non grata in the
that
most
guy that you found somewhere.
He's horrible. He's a bozo. I don't think he's ever watched a game. He genuinely is back in the day we had the hockey charts guys.
They're still out there.
Well, none of my business, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like you do not watch the games. We also have a significant J.J. McCarthy is absolutely washed immediately, coming from every which way, which is incredible. Even Vikings bloggers are this guy's done. So, yeah, it's you see him just rising up the list of quarterbacks in that middle spot, you know, and he's behind guys who you'd think he probably should be behind for now, but you can also see him kind of forcing his way into that top 10 quarterback conversation over the course of either the rest of this year or next year. And with that, he's dragging this team to wins. The defense is not good and it's very injured. And yeah, it's like, it's frustrating to sit there and be like, Jackson Dart outplayed Caleb at the beginning. It's like, well, he played well against a defense that couldn't do anything. Yeah, that's true.
And they was also running plays specifically designed to get him killed and apparently to get exactly. Brian Daboll fired.
And well, exactly. And they both worked.
And it worked. I mean,
mission accomplished on both ends.
And I haven't gone back and listened to last week's episode, but I guarantee you at some point I said Jackson Dart will get concussed in this game, and he absolutely did. Probably multiple times because they keep letting him play.
Multiple times, they said, yeah.
He's had four official blue tent concussion reviews this season.
And he lost a tooth. They said he got a tooth knocked out on Sunday, too.
Daboll was just trying to save his job, and he didn't care if he killed this fucking kid. I mean, it's no wonder they fired him right after the game. I mean, it's malpractice. You can see Dart is not, like, worthless out there. He could do stuff, but, like, you can't run into linebackers with your head. You can't.
Even if your dad told you to when you were 12 years old.
Right. Yeah, stop. Yeah. Unsustainable.
Maybe the state should be calling about your father.
It's Utah.
Well, true. I guess we'll get
to it. Don't get me started on that.
When we look forward, I find the J.J. McCarthy stuff hilarious. Now, I never thought he would be good in the pros. I said as much.
Sam's Michigan.
But he's played 2.5 games, 3?
His numbers are horrendous.
They're
man.
Not good.
Everything looks bad.
I mean, it must be something where like people who are watching practice are like, this isn't getting better.
Yeah.
And B, the Vikings and their observers are still under the impression that they're a Super Bowl contender, and they're not.
Oh, they're cooked.
But anyway, we'll get to that. Anyway, John, this is the longest we've gone without letting you unburden
yourself. That's quite all right.
Luther unburden.
Luther, the
biggest thing that I think the reason why Andrew mentioned why when the Bears won, why it you know, we had spent lamenting the entire time, even if they win, we're not going to feel good. But then when they did, we did. I think the biggest reason for that was how effortlessly Caleb moved them down the field in consecutive drives for 2 touchdowns. I mean, once I think they had the 3rd and long conversion on the first drive that went 91 yards. After that, there really wasn't, it all kind of happened really fast. And he put the team on his back and they scored easily. The second drive in particular was like, okay, we got the ball. We're going to score immediately. I think maybe in a few years down the road, we'll get to the point where Caleb and Ben will be able to just milk that clock to where they can have the confidence that they'll score with no time left.
Yeah. Cause I was sitting with my two friends on the last drive and they had the big pass play to Loveland. And you're like, all right, they're in field goal range. So, you know, game's tied. Where's game scenario?
Yeah. Let's slow
Burton.
Down.
Right. Burton was the big one. And you're like, all right, game's tied. You know, but you know, how do we play? You know, what should they do? Should you know, try and make them use their timeouts? Should we just do this? And then Caleb runs in. I'm like, oh, they could just do that. Yeah, just do that. Yeah. That's fine. You know, it's cool.
They're not. Yeah, I don't. I had the same thought process. Did not think that they're not at the point where they're that good that they can manipulate the clock that way.
Right. You
have
score
the opportunity
when you score
to get a touchdown.
We'll
just
clean up the
touchdown. Right. Don't overthink it. The play that they had designed, it looked like I think Komet was the primary read, and then OZ was wide open.
Yep.
But after the game that he had, there was no way that Caleb was going to waste his time with that.
Thank God.
So, yeah, I that to me was the biggest reason why the vibes and juice came back after they took the lead and won, was because it was really not suspenseful at all. Once that punter shanked it, it was like, okay, well, this is for sure turning the Bears' way here.
Sean Landetta.
That was so
and
great.
And then Russ obviously just can't do anything anymore.
No, he's
despite him and Jameis trying to pray it into existence.
Russ is al dente at this point.
Yeah, not Al Davis. Probably be better as
even
al
though
al
even
Davis.
Though I was prepared for Russ
too scabby
to create that Soldier Field magic that he's had throughout his career. That's those days are gone.
Thank yeah. God.
Yeah, yes. Caleb did the fuck you, Joe Boo, to me. That's what he did. He just said, I'm done with this. I'm not throwing the ball to these assholes anymore. This play is a boot, and I'm just fucking going. And I thought, watching the replay as many times as I did, I thought the fact that he was able to outrun the Giants' highly paid linebackers and edge rushers to the goal line, even though they had, you know, their angle, it was really incredible to see that. So, and the fact, the other thing too was like, I saw the Bears post like this: the offensive line gave up zero sacks. Like, yeah, but
yeah, but I mean,
you also can't do the escape artist like old timey, you know, Instagram video too. If you're gonna do that,
they're doing it all. Yeah, they're just
they're
buddy
for everything. Yeah,
I mean, this gets back to football metrics being weird. We're like, oh yeah, this guy was credited with a good block, and you look at it, and he's like lying on the ground, and the guy trips over him. It's like, well, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Well,
you know,
I think we're realizing as a unit here that the football analytics leave a lot to be desired in general.
Yeah, I mean, I don't bother with them.
It's all very subjective, even like with the Pro Football or the PFF or whatever. And even though Caleb, by the way, has been the top ranked quarterback the last 2 weeks on PFF. It's also subjective because if you're one person watching the game and you're charting it that way, you're not going to. Andrew and I aren't going to chart a game the exact same way because we're going to see it differently.
After all this time, John?
It's going to be biased. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Andrew and I is a bad comparison, but let's say.
Okay. I'm just saying. You know.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, you have these beat writers trying to use these hand-picked metrics for gotcha purposes. And it's like, that's not what this is supposed to be. It's gotten overwhelming. I think if you're not, again, I guess you have an opportunity as a person covering this team to like get people excited about reading your shit. I know there's a segment of the fan base that still doesn't like this quarterback and doesn't care that
he's gay.
He's improving. Yeah, he's too gay or whatever. Or the people with the Fields dead enders, I believe they're known as or what have you, even though he's literally the worst quarterback in the NFL right now.
I don't think Bears beat writers have to worry about getting people to read their stuff.
I understand that, but you know, if I was covering the team, I would want to be
somebody.
You do cover
the team, Slack.
I guess that's true. I would want to be somebody people enjoyed listening to, as opposed to the Dan Weeders of the world who have to just take a fucking dump every third paragraph, even if they're trying to be positive. It's just tiresome. Like, they're beating who they're playing. Yes, they're playing better teams coming up, but like John has said a couple times, so if the Steelers go to 500 or the Vikings go under 500 and they beat them, is it suddenly less good? No, you got to beat those teams anyway. So I don't know. It's just exhausting. It's like they're looking for reasons that it's not as good as it or as fun as it might be. It is fun. I'm having fun.
And when you continue to win, you're going to make the teams that you played's record worse. So, like, Washington, when they played them, were 3-2, and they completely torpedoed their season since they've beaten them. Dallas was 1-1 when the Bears beat them. But nobody takes that into consideration. They're just like, well, Washington's 3-7 now, so they just must be a dog shit team. And the Bears, you know, they should have beaten them. And Dallas is the best team that they beat at 3-5-1. Well, okay, but when they played Dallas, Dallas was 1-1, and they were trying to get their season back on track.
You
play the team on your schedule, yes, but at the same time, you also have to take into consideration what are the records of those teams when you played them. A,
don't tell me who you played. Tell me when you played them. Red Hawk.
That's
Red
right.
Stone Pony.
That's right. That just seems. And then the other thing that always gets forgotten is like, well, yeah, when you're a good team, the teams that you're beating are going to have worse records, so your schedule is not going to look as impressive.
Also, good teams beat dog ass teams.
Yeah, and football more than any other sport, when your season, and as we've seen in this city far too many times, when your season goes down the toilet, it goes down hard. So you know, when they beat Washington and they were 3-2, Washington wins that game to go 4-2. They're not going to all of a sudden then lose their next four games. Probably they probably have way better vibes going into the rest of their season to the point where they could, yeah, and they're contending for a playoff spot. The football season for every team can change. It's a week to week thing, and when people ignore that, that to me also becomes Andrew's tiresome. So. Yeah, I want to add another thing about that game and the agita that was causing throughout the game. I don't know if anybody or the kids have ever had to do this, but listening to the game in the car and putting on Joniak and Thayer while trying to also deal with a 1.5-year-old screaming at the top of her lungs every 30 seconds.
And a high spouse.
Yeah, that
high spouse
to me is hell. That was hell. And for any of the kids that tune in to Joniak or Thayer week to week, if you're not streaming it to your TV because you don't want to listen to the Spiro Didis's and Adam Archuleta's of the world,
Spiro Didis.
That it feels like that's who Joniak and is broadcasting his games to. It's to those people that are already watching on TV because he doesn't even describe what's happening play to play. Caleb Williams is escaping the pocket and you may as well have not know what's happening. He says Caleb Williams, I think at one point it was like the third and four or five where he escaped and got out of the pocket. It was you. I had absolutely zero clue what happened until at the end of the play, he said, Caleb Williams picks up the first down. It was like, all right, here's the snap. And Brian Burns is coming. He's got a free run at him. And then nothing, like pure silence. Sam, I believe you were also in the car for part of that game.
That
raised the agita exponentially for me. There was multiple points during the game where you just have no idea what's happening other than Joniak telling you what happens at the end of the play.
And then Tom Thayer doesn't tell you anything that happened.
No, he grunts. So then you're like, okay, well, what's happening? He's grunting. It's clearly something happened on
the field.
He's
taking a shit.
Yeah, it could be that. But yeah,
he tells you something
really
wrong
frustrating
at
listen.
Maximum volume.
Mm-hmm. Just a really frustrating listen, and it only makes it worse when the Bears are losing or playing poorly, and you're also trying to drive somewhere quickly so that you can get back to a TV so you can watch.
It's brutal.
They didn't crash your car,
and they also
it was really close.
They also feel like they're like entrenched as the team. Like for whatever reason, they have this endless.
It's really bizarre.
It's strange.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's like no – he's like the voice of the franchise at this point, all because of a punt returner 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really change radio teams in this town much, though.
Well,
unless someone dies.
Len
jumped ship, but that was only because Ed Farmer died.
That's true.
Get in the dirt.
You know, Foley retired, but it's been Weidman and Murray given health for, God, 20 years?
Yeah, close to.
Ron and Pat for the Cubs, it's been forever. These become, I guess the Bulls have more recently changed, but it's been a while with Chuck and Bill, yeah?
Yeah. Adam Amin's been in there with Stacy for a bit, too.
That's, yeah, on the TV side. I feel like the TV changed.
Oh, radio, sorry. Yeah, radio.
Yeah, but on the TV side, you know, they only seem to change when there's a retirement.
Yeah,
the only person who got fired was your buddy. You know, the Hawks had the audition for Pat Foley, but they only had to do that because Foley retired. And then, you know, they let Pang do the hiring, and they'll be the team until God knows when.
Ugh.
The people must like it.
I guess. I don't know. I've always found that my blood pressure is ready to spike through the roof whenever listening to Joniak, especially because it seems like, well, I guess it's not a coincidence, but usually the Bears are playing poorly from previous years. So it just makes me pre-upset. And then having to listen to him describe it only makes me more upset.
You should.
I mean,
you could have flipped to the other call, SiriusXM in the car.
I could have. But, yeah, I guess I could have. But
you have Sirius?
I do.
Yeah, I just got it.
Football's really hard to do on the radio, to be fair. It's got to be the hardest one.
Probably, but I don't know. And then hearing all the mic'd up stuff, that obviously all the stuff with Caleb this past week, and then you hear Joniak's call on it, and he doesn't even seem that excited. And I know, Sam, you sent the other one of the defensive, CJ Gardner, getting the sack, and yeah, he was fired up. He's fist pumping in the booth and everything. But where are the fist pumps for the offense? Like, you've been watching
Joniak's a meatball. Joniak's a dumbass.
He is a complete dumbass meatball. It's basically the moral of it, because he like is just nonchalant about scoring at will these past few weeks. And yeah, I mean, his call was just,
he's getting old, man. Isn't he?
Not old. No. Yeah, not far enough to excuse him to.
I mean,
yeah.
He looked. I that clip I sent you where they show him in the booth and he's jumping around, pumping. I mean, he looked older than I would have guessed.
Joniak's 63.
Okay.
Well, for a play-by-play guy, that's getting up there, isn't it? I don't know. Harry Callis was like 108 when he died, right?
And he was. Yeah. And he was an entirely an anthropomorphic cigarette by that time.
but anyway, that's, you know, that's not really pertinent to the Bears' fortunes. It's just annoying.
It is. But yeah, that was my game experience. Oh no, I had a second game experience. Speaking of Joniak and his hometown of Arlington Heights, because we did go to the same high school.
Not at the same time. John's not that old.
No. He's 20 years old.
Only in spirit.
Mm-hmm. We did stop at a local haunt in Arlington Heights, which would have been you could have told me we were at a Klan rally, and I would not have been surprised.
Anyone who is familiar with Arlington Heights and the Arlington Heights, Prospect Heights, Mount Prospect region knows exactly which bar this is.
So my wife wanted to go there because she's heard about this place through the years. And so she had never been there, so we decided to go. So I was like, fine, fuck it, we'll go. We dropped off the kid at her aunt's and then caught the fourth quarter there. And I'm pretty sure that we were sitting by the people that Andrew was sitting by at the Bears game, because we heard on that second-to-last drive, so when the Bears scored to make it 20-17, about two plays after that escape that Caleb made and then connected with Loveland, I think he did the same thing later, and it was an incompletion. And one of the guys sitting by us was screaming about how he just wished Caleb would throw the ball away on plays like that.
It's just such a cowardly way to live.
Well, also it was an incomplete pass, so it was the same.
It was the same thing.
Same result. You had the Jesus. Same result. He also had the chance of maybe completing it because he threw it at a guy that could have caught it if he held on to it or got his feet down. And then after the game, of course, somebody strolls in late to the clan meeting and asked how Caleb played, and somebody responded, not great, which I found amusing because obviously he didn't play great by all pro standards, but he threw for 200 plus yards. He took the team down the field on two consecutive scoring drives to win the game, and basically sacrificed his body on those last two drives with both of those run plays, the one that led to the Adunze throw, and then of course the one that he scored. So I had to chuckle at that because
that's what I'm talking about. Those people are not going to go away for a long time, if ever. The ones who are just going to say that kind of shit,
right?
You know, it's just like, and it's tiresome, but that's their problem.
Indeed, because as we've alluded to and said, the worm is turning on the narrative, especially nationally. I think that people are recognizing that when the Bears have the ball late in the game and they need to score, chances are they're going to do it, and that means a lot when it comes to building a national narrative, because I think then that is going to start to seep down at this level because they're just not going to be You know, the beat writers that we've mentioned and talked about, they're not going to be able to say a lot of this stuff because they're going to realize that the national people are just going to tune them out as the Bears get more attention. Like, you're just not going to be able to get away with nitpicking all of this crap. Like, that doesn't really mean anything. Especially right, when the coach is telling you what he how happy he is with everything.
Yards, coach, what points, and wins.
Right.
Like, everything else, and I get caught up in it too, but what are they, sixth in yards and sixth in points or something like that? And it's like,
well, I thought they were top four, but yeah, nevertheless, they're in the proverbial hunt.
Right. So I don't know what else it is I'm supposed to care about. You know, there is no PDO in football, is there?
It all kind of just boils down to the fact that once those scramble plays start turning into like huge chunk plays and huge explosives where he rolls out and hits somebody in the corner of the end zone, that's when all this, we said it last week, but that's when all of this is really going to stop. And all of these people are just going to sound really showing a track record of success. But that's the problem, is that people haven't seen too much of it yet. But like, and as Andrew said, it's coming. It's going to come at some point. The other thing that I was noticing as I saw some all 22 clips, it is amazing. I must have just taken the Chiefs for granted for a lot of these years, and the big dumbass tight end that they have, and how easy they make those plays look. Because as I was watching a lot of the replays of Caleb escaping the pocket, there was nobody to throw to unless he threw those 95 mile an hour rippers into a tight window. I mean, the Giants had everything kind of locked down to the point where it was almost shocking. So then I started thinking about it. I mean, the Chiefs must be just unbelievable at those sorts of play. Mahomes and Kelsey in particular.
Crazy ass white boy.
Mm-hmm.
Bears are third in yards, by the way, sixth in points per.
There you go.
From a guy with a track record of doing it, this isn't just yanking something out of. This isn't like.
Mm-mm.
That's the reason to be encouraged. And again,
right.
It's Andrew's 2-year project, as we've often stated. So.
Yeah, I mean, look at the other guy. The thing in the Jets thing is not good, and you know, it's not like you just hire a Lions assistant and expect it to work out. Like, it's not like pick one and you're going to be fine. I think. You know, there's a lot of things that you can point to with Ryan Poles where he's fucked up, and I think he has.
We're going to get to that.
Many, many times, and it's a problem, and it's usually rearing its ugly head during games. But, yeah, Aaron Glenn, you know, great defense, all that good stuff, but, man, he already looks like he's just completely out of his depth. Even this week, he's given answers at press conferences. Like, go ask the GM. He knows the answers. Like, holy shit, dude. Really? That's, come on, man. Good Lord. So it's fun to say and make fun of how stupid and antiquated and backwards the Bears are and the organization and the robe wearing, chocolate milk drinking owners and all this other stuff. But, and it's not wrong, but it's also not as bad as other places. I mean, and they got Ben Johnson. Well, for whatever faults they have, which are many. Somehow they pulled this off. Holy shit. This guy is the real deal.
Oh, he's the real deal. And he's the most important person in the building, which is the way it should be. This is how all the successful,
yes,
long-time successful teams operate. The head coach is the guy.
Well, you know, Philadelphia, it's Roseman probably, right?
Right.
Sirianni might be the exception. Dipshit.
Yeah, yeah. Philadelphia might be the exception to the rule and really in the fine. Because if you can go down the list, I mean, even when like
Roseman, Vic, and then Nick,
he is a moron.
You go back to the Belichick era Patriots. I mean, he was the most important guy. All of his GMs and player personnel went to other teams and couldn't do jack shit.
McDaniels is even back in New England.
Right. Right.
Does he get a third job with the Drake Mays emergence?
No.
Does anyone?
Everyone's learned the lesson on that
one, right? No way.
Like you can't. Someone will. I'm pretty sure.
I think Matt might be right. If he turns Drake May into a perennial MVP candidate, which
not after this year, but like if Drake May is this again next year, someone's gonna think, well,
Right. There's going to be a slow coaching market with not a lot of exciting names, and people are going to be like, well, yeah, this time will be different.
He's not even 50 yet. He'll be 50 in April.
Yeah, if things keep going for him this way, I think Matt's right. I think he will probably get
shot. I think people will just be like, he can only work as this in that place.
It's not that different. Obviously, very different people, but the Dennis Allen thing is kind of similar, right? He's
Gunther Cunningham.
He's a coordinator. He's a really good one.
Yeah, but Spagnuolo. What he does. Yeah,
we can't put this guy in charge of a whole team.
Well, and clearly, the specter of Mike Vrabel like choke slamming him to oblivion. helps keep him in line as just OC.
Norv didn't get more than two head coaching gigs, right? Norv Turner. Right.
That was it.
And then he was then he went back to OC for life.
He was just he was the offensive whisperer.
Yeah.
So it happens. I don't know. I mean, like, Matt's right. You know, like a GM or an owner could forget. But not only was he a bad head coach, like he drove everyone nuts.
Everyone hated him.
He's a dick. He's a complete dick.
It's like one thing, like, if you're bad at your job, but like people like you.
People
like,
loved Pete Carroll, even though he sucked his first couple tries.
Right. Like, I mean, I could, you know, you could see how Eberflus could end up a coaching because people like him. He's bad at it.
The stuff we heard out of Indianapolis were like, I don't know. Like, it takes a certain type of, I don't know.
I don't see it. But this isn't, you know, the Patriots hour. Thank God.
Or Patriots corner.
Yeah, it's not Patriots corner.
You had Ryan Poles things,
though. We do have to talk
about
one side, the other side of the ball. And that, maybe that's why I was getting a little peeved the past 2 weeks, especially on Sunday. I mean, I knew what was – I was like, well, Cincinnati has the two all-pro receivers. They have no secondary. I could somewhat see it until it was the last 4 minutes, and then, you know, it was just blind rage. You know, there's no excuse here. The entire defense is all Poles now. It's been 4 years. These are all his guys.
Well, because Jalen's hurt.
Okay, so he's the one? He's the one who can play?
Like, your corner should not be a linchpin.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
So, why is he going to be the one trying to fix this?
He shouldn't be. By all rights, he should not be.
We can't say we have any idea if Ben is interested or if Ben is talented in picking out defensive players. We have no idea.
But Dennis Allen might
Dennis Allen is just certainly. He certainly has, as most longtime, you know, coaches do. He's got his guys.
Yep.
You know, that's why CJGJ is even here.
Yep.
And the early returns on that are positive.
Indeed.
Right, but his guys are now 2 years older. Like, he's going to have to find new guys.
I know. Well, but that's, like, you got to – he needs to be, like – Poles just needs to be turned into an errand boy.
Pretty much.
They need to trade all their third-round picks to somebody else.
Just to someone else in the organization to make them or, like, someone else?
No, get them out of here. We can't have third-round picks anymore. We don't deserve them.
You can't, you know, his free agent signings for the defense aren't good.
Yeah, the Dio thing is crazy. And it sounded crazy when it happened.
Going all the way back to Larry Ogunjobi out of the fucking box.
Yeah, when we get here in April, or March, sorry, that's when football free agency is. We do a football free agency. So we say, hey, this all sounds pretty good. I'm taking the slack tact in March.
Oh, and 17 of free agents.
No, the Bears free agents, these guys all suck.
Yep.
They will all flame out.
Even if it's Miles Garrett.
Until proven different. Because they never work.
No, I think it's the exception is if they get a guy who's a superstar. Obviously, that's different.
Right. If you go shopping at the top of the market, fine. But they thought they were shopping at the top of the market with Montez Sweat, and he's...
Who's been good, but who gives a shit?
He's okay? He's not an anchor?
He's not... He's flashing on the stat sheet. And but he's not. Yeah, I know what you're saying. He's not the guy that's.
He's Wale all over again.
If he ends up with double digit sacks, which is very possible. I mean, it's certainly not like, oh, this sucks. But yeah, he's paid but like a guy. He's paid like a guy who's supposed to be doing.
He's the guy more. I want on the other side of the guy who's the real monster. Like, if he were playing opposite Micah Parsons, then I'm like, okay, now we're on to something.
Micah Parsons is never putting his hand on the ground, though.
You know what I'm saying?
You know who's got good pass rush win rates? Early returns. Mr. Bucco.
Okay.
Artie Bucco. Yeah.
But we just talked about how who is even judging that, and those numbers don't mean anything.
Right. Was he in the trail technique when Jackson Dart was running for 12 yards every time?
Well, no, he was there for the fumble, I believe. I guess that is okay. Trail technique, but... Yeah.
Well, they said, and his thing is, and that's who they were running at. You run at speed, right? Yes. That's the old Brian Billick. So that's what they were trying to turn that corner on him when Artie Bucco was out there.
Artie Bucco corner.
What is Brian Billick up to?
Probably being cranky somewhere.
Yeah, I think he's sitting at Lou Piniella's pool sipping margaritas.
Is he not dead?
No, he's not.
No, he's like, yeah, he's like our folks' age. He's not.
He's always seemed like a decent guy. I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's 71.
He's a football coach.
He's not that old. Okay.
I think he just stepped away after COVID and really decided to come back.
He was one of those guys who was everywhere at some point.
Like, right.
He had a weekly score spot.
Okay, how we doing?
And he was a color commentator, I think for CBS.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm thinking about
it. I remember him talking about how when he was doing the guest spot for the score, he did guest spots all over the country. Like, he had a slot for sports radio stations, you know, all over, and he had them scheduled, so they just lined up one after the other. Like, it was just like one day. He's like, I spent the next 2 hours doing this. That's why he was doing the hey, okay, because he, you know, he could barely remember who he was talking to or what he was talking about. And good for him, you know. I'm sure that's how they all like to do it.
I'm sure he's lurking somewhere, Andrew.
Just like you.
I hope so.
He was last seen as an advisor to Arizona State in 2022. Who was the coach?
Oh, so he was just trying to get laid. All right, fair enough.
I mean, if you're going to do it at a place, you know, that's...
That's exactly right. He's smart enough. He knows where to go.
He knows where to go. I tried to spend some time in Tempe, Arizona, but they were on spring break.
So nobody was there.
Young man.
And that was advising Herm.
Yeah, when Herm was
at ASU.
All right. Are you unburdened, John?
Absolutely. Ready for Sunday now.
Ready for Sunday. What are we thinking about Sunday?
Oh, boy.
I can't make hide nor hair of it.
No, I.
They're favored, I believe, right?
Now they're favored? They were underdogs at one point.
Let's see. Hold on. Bears, Vikings, odds.
I mean, it's still two all-pro. Well, not maybe.
No, I thought you was laying. I thought you was laying.
Yeah.
Sorry. I got the Roller Dome Spilkes. I always will.
Roller Dome Spilkes, two, maybe not quite two all-pro receivers, but two really good receivers against a bunch of people with a squeegee in the secondary.
Well, and see, this is my thing. You know, your secondary's banged up. You keep running up against quarterbacks that are just waiting to poop their pants.
This is another one.
Yes, send the house. You can't get it with four. Just send them.
The other thing
is
put them on the ground.
Put them on the ground before. Like, who cares if he breaks off? If he's breaking off chunks, concuss him, decapitate him.
We saw
another
early.
Fucking white boy with too much eye black this week.
It didn't materialize later in the game, but historically, Ben does know how to score on a Flores defense. Hopefully, this is like they're fired up in that room this week, thinking about revenge.
Money on the board.
Yeah, get shit right. Like this, let's atone for week one. That was embarrassing, and they really just make this Sunday miserable for these purple pricks.
John.
Yes.
If I can take it back in time to 7 years, 2018. Do you remember what I said when I said if the Bears get this one on Thanksgiving, I'm blank? Do you remember?
Vaguely.
I'm all in.
Okay. So they win this one, you're
I don't know if that this qualifies, but if they get to 7-3, I mean, 7-3 is 7-3. And it's
football
a division win.
Is a football on the groin.
Football on the groin. So they get this one, right? So you're 7-3. You got the Steelers at home, and like you can line up your secondary 5 yards from the line of scrimmage and be like, he can't throw it over us.
He literally doesn't ever.
He can't. He won't try. It doesn't matter.
It's crazy. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Right. I mean, like, look, listen to the Bears. They could fuck up any game. I get it. But you got Steelers, Browns at home. It's like, man, you should be able to get those. Like that, there's no excuse there. Like there's my 9 wins. And then it's just like it's all house money from there.
Well, so I've been saying it though. Like this is the thing, right? Like you have a flailing Packers team twice on the schedule, and you beat them once last year when your team was completely done. Just.
Ben hates that well-manicured prick, too.
Ben hates him. We all
hate
him.
Ben hates everybody.
But your path to glory lies right there. And,
the path of the righteous man is beset on all sides.
It's there. It's like, this is... Why settle for, you know, we're just going to try to, you know, have a good finish and hopefully blah, like, just go for it. Let's beat these fucking guys, man. This is it. You've got
a
shot.
You might get some of your secondary back.
You might. You've got a shot at really... putting your, you know, stamp on this division in your first year here. It doesn't have to be we won 7 games and there's some nice things that we can look forward to. You can really go.
But it might be that too. It could end up that way. It might not be surprising.
It might. It should be exciting. It shouldn't be this, we'll see. It should be like, we got a shot at this. This is good stuff. There's a lot of belief in that room. I'm positive. The culture has completely shifted. So, you know, like if they can get a little bit of health, I'm guessing TJ will be back at some point. And then I saw a video of Jalen doing some exercises. So he's trying to come back. And Kyler will probably get back at some point in the next month too. So
at least for 5 minutes,
at least for one game. But if you get, if you get to early December and you get those 3 guys back and don't suffer anything else, like maybe they don't look as bad on defense. I don't know. I'm excited. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up. It might not go well, but why don't we embrace
maybe
the
it's
possibilities?
Just, maybe it's just
now
wins in
be
Minnesota.
The good sweats here, Andrew, because now I'm imagining a place where the Bears' offense is really starts clicking towards the end of this year, and then they're heading into the playoffs with a healthy defense and a defense that's completely different than they've had.
Yes,
different era.
For the majority of the season,
the proverbial team no one wants to play.
I'm not getting
now
there.
You're giving me the vapors.
Scenario
that's giving me the vapors, Sam.
Just get us to the point where we can get, you know, maybe a competitive loss to the Rams or the Seahawks or something. I think that would be nice. I'll take that. That'd be great. In the playoffs, I mean.
Yeah, we're way ahead of yourselves. And
you got to dream a little bit while you're.
No,
have the chance.
They win on Sunday.
Oh,
and
17.
Right there with you. They win on Sunday. Maybe I think it's just wins in Minnesota give me the vibes and juice because it doesn't happen often. I hate that team. I don't care that it's not the Roller Dome. It's still the Roller Dome.
Well,
no,
and
it still is. It still is. They still let people do rollerblade in there.
Yeah,
and Sam's Lions are in Philadelphia. Sunday night too, so the beloved could very well be alone and in first place at the end of business this coming Sunday.
There you go,
Spilkus.
And they're getting their national. They're getting the Brady crew.
They're getting the Brady crew. Aaron Andrews on the sideline.
Last Sam, time, go ahead. Nope.
No, I was gonna say this new building of Minnesota's is more of a roller dome than the Humphrey Dome. Because they do it, they let
this
people
is the bird killer though.
Yeah, they let people rollerblade in there like 5 days a week.
Who's still rollerblades?
People in Minnesota.
Well, it is always 1998 there.
Plus, rollerblading indoors is a thing, like in the mall in both the Mighty Ducks movies.
Yep, filmed in Minnesota.
This is IMDb corner.
Well, speaking of the Mighty Ducks, and we will shift gears as we always do at this time.
Look at that. Look at that, folks. This is what you're paying for.
Hawks came back from this road trip with 7 points, which, and I've got a team working on this, but I believe 7 is more than 6.
Sure
which
is.
Which was your requirement. And I will let the kids know that John said if they get 7 points, the expectation should be a playoff spot. And no, John hasn't been smoking crack, as far as I know.
I said 8 points, but 7 is close enough.
Although after Screaming Baby and Jeff Joniak, maybe he turned to crack. I don't know.
The I mean, they're still hanging around there, Sam. So I don't see why you wouldn't have playoffs as an expectation at this point.
I'll give you a bunch of reasons.
Subscribe to Sam's newsletter for those reasons.
If you want to read them, you can subscribe to. Look, I really don't want, and I don't think it's required for me to be Eeyore to the momentum and excitement.
No, you're a hater.
The vibes and juice.
Just a hater.
You owe me an apology.
There are many things going on with the Hawks that are fun and are enjoyable, and there's a couple really important things, i.e. Bedard looking like this and Spencer Knight looking like this. That's really important.
Arguably the two most important things.
They might be the only important things that are going on right now, but like they are the most important.
The Levshinov being trusted more is not important, that's for sure.
Is it trusted, or did he inherit the role by default because Rinzel hasn't been that good?
I think it's both, truthfully.
Okay.
I agree. I think there's a lot to like from what I'm seeing from 55.
I think there is too. I wish I saw a little more with the puck, but everything else is progressing nicely. And he's right now he's a better power play quarterback than Rinzel. And let me ask you this:
He's better at the wall. He's better like a cutting pucks, keeping pucks in.
Let me ask this: same player, Sam Rinzel. Let's say Minnesota last year goes to the Frozen Four, which means he wouldn't have been done in time to play the 8 games that they will write poetry about. He just misses the rest of the season, but the Hawks sign him and they bring him to training camp. Would Sam Rinzel have started the year with the team?
No.
Yeah, no, I agree with Matt.
He would start over Rockford.
100%, yeah.
So he should probably be in Rockford now.
Yes.
I think that's on the table for the near future.
I think it is too.
He hasn't been a disaster, but like
if you can't put him, he does not look ready.
They don't have the luxury and they don't have the personnel elsewhere to totally cherry pick spots for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want him logging and like, even if you're doing that, like giving him only, you know, 10 or 12 minutes a night instead of like the 18 to 20 that he probably needs. He should not be hitting the wall this close into it. It should have been at like, you know, the 50 game mark, not the 15.
Yeah. I mean, it gets a little screwy because, you know, it seems like it would line up perfectly. Let's send Rinzel down and bring Korch up because they're both puck movers and they're both exciting, but you know, one's right-handed, one's left-handed. It's hard to then slot out the pairs.
What are you doing? Like, you got to sell high on Grizzlick. Like, what is it like? There's no point on that. He's 31 fucking years old on a PTO.
Yeah,
you've got to sell high on that sooner or later, and then
see if Kaiser can play his offside. I mean, you don't have anything to lose. Vlasic on his offside,
or get Murphy the hell out of here. Lord knows he's dying to.
Right,
it's
but
hard,
you also,
it's hard to imagine them selling a guy off this roster at this point.
Yeah, not before Thanksgiving, but he's right. At some point, and well before the deadline, you should probably see what's out there for Grizzlick. Maybe the fact that you were the only team to offer him a PTO probably means there won't be much out there.
You could find some.
Well, hockey GMs are very stupid.
I'm not here to say Sam Rinzel's been a disaster, but I've been a little, from what I saw.
He's been
last
invisible
year,
for the most part, especially compared to Levshinov.
Even as someone who didn't put that much stock in the eight games, I'd say I've been just a touch disappointed in what I've seen this year. I thought we'd see a little more, but again, I don't know what he's being asked to do. None of these guys, Levshinov, Rinzel. It seems like Grizzlick's the only one who's pushing the play. You know, these guys are all kind of being told to play on their heels.
Yeah, so, and obviously we can't know that. But
we can't know that. And again, this is all, we don't have the context for it because we don't know if it's part of a process where they're going to say, look, we're going to get our defensive zone coverage right first. That's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to spend the first 2 months of the season doing that. And if we get that, we'll move on to being a little more aggressive, well, and trying to get up the ice.
But we saw that it was that they said that they were going to do man-to-man, and they kind of have backed off of that. So now are they doing, as you pointed out, Sam, in your newsletter, pushing everything to the perimeter?
Yeah, they might be. We don't know. I mean, it could be if you've got enough speed,
which for the most part they do, aside from, you know, from Nicky the Moth, like you can do that and still play a zone, but like I don't know, because you're right, like nothing other than the 2-on-1 and the hot Soderblom on Soderblom action and that one back door was really like a life threatening from Detroit. It was all volume. It was all from the outside.
Yeah, but Vancouver was a different story. Those were big time saves. And it might have been different in Calgary if Calgary had anybody, which they don't. That is a sad situation for our friends. Who might not even care anymore.
They've got their jokes. They've got their bits. I think that's the okay. it makes it easier if it's kind of already to this point rather than deluding themselves. So
right,
they'll keep themselves entertained one way or another.
John, do you have anything on your Hawks yellow pad? The red tinted yellow pad, not the blue.
No,
tinted
I think we talked
pad.
About everything already.
Okay, is it time for America's favorite segment?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'll be quick with this one, but I think we're in the apology era. So, you know,
the same woman really... who told me I had to print an apology to Patrick Kane.
Yeah, of course. Logical Son here says, I owe Connor Bedard an apology. Last year, I questioned what was going on with Bedard and if he was going to get going. A few of you smart Blackhawk fans said, pump the brakes. He needs a little talent and some time. Well, he has arrived. Connor Bedard has entered beast mode, just playing fantastic hockey all the way around. Couldn't be happy
for
him.
Did he just come up with this phrase?
Couldn't
beast
be happy
mode?
For him.
I've never heard that before.
And actually myself. My apologies for ever doubting the talent. There is finally joy in Mudville. Nothing inherently wrong with the post. It's fine. But here we get to the middle of this here where we have our typical freak shows. And this
not Forks Mutant Ball. That's a different thing.
I thought it was a cotillion. For a guy named A56-7W. The dash is spelled out. This guy is an all-star. He has ability to get to the
level.
That's
got to be white nationalist code for something.
He has the ability to get to the level of a Schwartz hockey, maybe not in volume and maybe not as gregarious, but he is genuinely an insane person. I just want to read this to you all here because this is the stuff that makes me want to vomit. Can we apologize to Kyle from Chicago too? The moves he's made the past year are incredible.
Okay, that's a shot at me.
Moving Jones for a franchise goalie and an unprotected first, dumping Mrazek to get Valeno and then to get Burakovsky, signing Matt Grelchik, hiring Blasil?
Are these all question marks or exclamation points?
Question marks. They're question marks.
Well, I'm sure they're only rhetorical, but again, like, you don't need to
play. I know what rhetorical means.
20% of the way through a season.
With a 12 shooting percentage. I mean, I can't stress this up. They're not going to shoot 12% the whole year. It's just not going to happen.
They could have one of those magical seasons, though, Sam.
A magical season, NHL, you still shoot 10. Like, you know,
which
like,
no one here, not the subreddit, here, believes that Kyle will learn the correct lesson from. If...
Absolutely not.
Well, now
yeah.
it's everyone is wrong, and he's done nothing but make great move
yep,
after
everything
great
is
move
perfect and going
move.
Exactly to plan.
Everything is awesome.
It is, Sam. And you know, like I think we all want the same thing, but I mean you can be excited about what you're watching and you can say I'm enjoying watching this team right now. All those things are true.
It's actually fun.
It is fun. But I just think when you're doing this, you owe people who you've never met and will never meet an apology is insane. It's this like I love this GM so much. I have this cute little nickname And I love all his trades, which
because he's young and he's handsome.
He's made what, like, three trades his whole life or whatever.
That didn't involve draft picks.
Exactly. That wasn't him just giving up money so someone else cool could get traded from somewhere to somewhere else. Mikko Rantanen, hello. Yeah. So look, here's the bottom line. If you guys want to go on the apology tour, let's see what Kyle has to do if the Hawks are still in a postseason spot and we get too close to the trade deadline. Then we'll see what this guy has to say for himself. And I'm not confident we're going to see anything good or interesting, but I would love to force him into a spot where he has to actually commit to something that isn't stocking draft picks that you can't possibly roster.
I mean, you don't have to.
No,
again,
we don't
need to be. Again,
I mean,
we can't argue with these posts via the proxy that is Andrew. Even though he occasionally chimes in just to needle people.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it, though. Their November schedule is not that much more taxing. I mean, this could go on for a bit. I mean, Toronto's...
Well, and then if they're still in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, then
you got to start, like, well, okay now, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not far off. I mean it's like 2 weeks.
Saturday, Toronto stinks. Calgary, after that, stinks. Seattle, I don't care that they beat the Hawks, they stink.
Yes, Mr. Sherman, everything stinks.
They're going nowhere.
Buffalo, bad. Okay, then Colorado's in. Different sort of animal.
Very good.
Minnesota.
Bad. Oh, John's Minnesota, actually. John's Minnesota's won 15 in a row or whatever you said.
You're right. Maybe that's where it starts.
Yep.
Correction, they are 4-3-3 in their last 10. Sorry, John.
On their way. They're back to 500.
Yes, they are. If you call 500...
500 isn't anything in hockey. What the fuck?
Winning right. 7 of 18 games is 500. Sure.
So yeah, Black Wednesday, they host Minnesota, who are
Not Black, good.
Black Friday, when we're still drunk after the Bears beat the Eagles. Nashville, terrible.
Very bad.
You know, and then Anaheim's in here, and they're good.
They're good.
So
and listen to, if you want to watch, and I'm not taking any joy in this for the record, but if you want to look for something interesting, watch all the ways people talk about the Ducks and their hot start and how hard they try not to mention Joel Quenneville having anything to do with it.
They really do try.
He certainly has nothing to do with it, I'm sure.
It's sad that he's such an asshole and just like a hockey genius.
Yeah. Yep.
America's favorite segment never disappoints, even in our lighter episodes.
Indeed. All right. Do we have? I have no creating questions on my end, although I will check. I will effort while Matt checks the official feed.
Andrew, did you get anything?
I did get a few strange ones. I can.
All right, go for it. I got literally one.
All right. I'm going to go with Jeff here, the other Jeff Hicks. I think he's a longtime guy. Since everyone loves the Bears beat, who is everyone's favorite? I know Fishbane had votes for most, but the people need to know Beezer, Fishbane, and then who cares, IMO. Well, I am anti-Fishbane now. I've turned on him. He's persona non grata with me.
Leisure was great during the Eberflus death spiral with Bernstein and Holmes on those shows.
I think...
But, like, I don't follow anyone on Twitter.
The Bears beat doesn't have a Sahadev or a Scott Powers for me, which is a bummer. You know, so that's the issue for me. Like, I always felt like when I was more of a antagonist on social media, now that Twitter's gone, I would always have an ally somewhere, and then that just isn't really happening with the Bears
beat. And then
beat.
You'd get the sub, because you are nothing if not Dr. Viral, you would get the DM after the fact, after you made some snide comment telling you how right you were.
I just don't have that with these guys.
I don't have a Tribune subscription. He only recently went to the Tribune. Isn't Hammond okay?
You know what? He pissed me off because when the Bengals returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, he wrote in all caps, house call. I found that extremely offensive. He's
what about Jake Baby?
List.
Time to go jerk off.
Not a beat writer.
Yeah, he's not a beat writer.
I don't know where he is. Just the guy. Yeah.
He's on Twitter like everybody else. We're all
what about Herb Howard?
Young freaks.
Who?
Hang on.
Who the hell
I don't
is
know
he?
Who he, I don't know much about him, but I think people hate that guy. So, beat writers specifically to me are people who work for one of the newspapers or
the Athletic. I get you, or the Athletic. I think, you know, I don't have one. I think Bears beat writers are acutely aware that they are the most read beat writers in town by far, and by cracky. It goes to their heads, and then, you know, they, I don't want to say they think they're the story, but I don't want to say they don't think they're the story, you know? Like, we've done so many shows about how Bears beat writers act as if they're carrying the cross every training camp. And then, as it is now, when things are actually going kind of well, they can't let go of that. It still has to be torture to cover the Bears. Like, they can't, like, they can never make it seem like it's not a slog. Maybe because they have to drive to Lake Forest every day. I don't know.
Life is so hard. It's so awful. I have to cover the most interesting beat in sports. Because in the NFL, I swear to God, the worst teams are interesting. There's never a team that's not interesting where stuff isn't happening that's worth talking about. It's just, it's by far the best beat.
It must be hilarious to cover the Dolphins right now.
Oh man, they were! I saw the video of them just partying after they beat the Bills. What do you make of that? I mean, that was just bizarre.
Well, and they, by what I've seen, everybody just loves it. They think that McDaniels is hilarious, telling that he went, he drove past some Buffalo Bills bar in Miami to honk at the people. Like, what are you doing? You're going to win four games this season. They're going to be playing late in January.
Maybe.
Really strange.
They like to take weeks off.
It's true, but. They're more than likely to be there.
They need to bring back
more than Miami.
Well, now that Zoran Mondani is mayor of New York City, maybe what's his name, whichever McDermott can give another interesting speech to rally them.
Anyway, we don't have a Bears beat writer. They don't know who we are, and if they did, they wouldn't like us. So,
well, we don't like them.
Well, yes, one Bears beat reporter mutual. Knew who I was, and she didn't like me very much at all.
Yeah, but she had a good reason.
Yes, she had several very good reasons. You have anything else, Andrew?
Well, Crypto Fartcoin, going under Headphone Easy Rider, asks, how do you get rid of Kevin Warren? And I would just say, I probably wouldn't at this point. I don't know.
He's here until the stadium, but
I don't know. If we get a stadium and we got Ben Johnson, I'm fine with Kevin Warren.
Yeah, just show me more renderings, cut a ribbon, and then I don't care whether you're here or not. That's all I want.
He's in the background of those locker room videos.
He is
most of the time. You can spot him.
He is. He's there to enjoy the wins.
No whiz, no wins.
I didn't get to see any of this Aurora Borealis tonight.
I've seen it in Norway, so I don't care.
Well, yeah, that's going to be. I mean, I've seen it in northern Minnesota or Ontario.
I think I'm like, too close to the junction over by there with too much light pollution to get anything. So I'm hopeful there'll be some action.
Anything else?
Gargoyle Enthusiast at 10-foot clown pole asks, if God is so great, why am I so dumb?
Because it's entertaining for your friends.
The first part of that sentence is quite a leap, so I don't know. I think
we're getting more abstract, but thank you. I do enjoy my new job.
I think we're all pretty dumb, so yeah. Welcome to the club.
We're doing this podcast, and you're listening to it. No one can comment on the other.
Yeah, there's no high ground here.
For those who might be asking, Illini Corner is back.
Wait, which
Illini Buckets?
Illini Corner.
Illini Hoops. We are
Illini
back.
Hoops Corner is back.
Big win against the ranked team on TV. Can't beat it. Our young Balkan boys.
They blew a bit of a lead, but that's okay.
It's early in the season. They're still
Texas Tech's right. A good team.
That's the one thing about Underwood is that they are going to load up their schedule. I was looking at some of the teams they're playing, and holy shit, do they have a meat grinder.
Good.
Eastern Euros like sausages, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You play sure good do. Teams and you win and you lose, but
the Chivapi.
You end up, it doesn't matter. You're going to get in the tournament with that kind of stuff. And
especially with that made up stat that most of the bracket people use now, So the Illinois always has a higher ranking because they play these insane schedules. So they beat Texas Tech tonight, and then they play Colgate, which they should, cruise through that. But then they play Alabama.
Brush them off, as it were.
And then two games
Come
with
on. Not even from
made up
Sam. Come
schools.
on.
Oh, I got it. I'm with you. I'm chortling over
They
here.
play two made up schools after Alabama, and then it's UConn, Tennessee, and then into Big Ten play. So
Oof.
that is something.
That's crazy. UConn and Tennessee. That's oof.
Back
Yikes.
to back games
My God.
in
Tennessee game
UConn for
last
the
year
one.
was a heartbreaker. So
And they're both road games too.
yeah.
So
All right.
chalk up
Well,
those as two L's.
it'll be fun.
Illini Corner will be canceled in December, but
Oh
we'll be
yeah.
back after Big Ten play.
And then canceled if we lose to Northwestern again.
Correct.
Yep. And then back after something else. That's all I got.
All right, I got one last one. It's a fun one here, and it's a callback to an earlier segment. What's an established? This is from at Bedard Haver, who's going by Corch's D partner off the street. What's an establishment that Ben Johnson says that he frequents that would instantly make you lose all faith in him being able to do his job?
Happy camper.
John?
Yeah, you guys
Parlay.
know the
Yeah,
North Shore
Parlay.
ones better than I would.
Well, I mean,
Or Old Crow. Old Crow would be
oh
another one.
yeah, which he probably would go to. I don't want to know. I
For
don't want to
Cubs
know.
games, he would probably go, but that's okay. I wouldn't hold it against him. But if he's going there on like a Friday night in the middle of the summer
Doesn't
or
he have like three kids?
fall.
I mean,
I
like, hey,
mean,
hon, let's go get some barbecue nachos at Old Crow. Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
That's not gonna fly.
it's hard to blame people if they go when they're if they stroll in there during a Cubs game. But if
Maybe
you're going there in your free time, I got questions.
well, maybe Ben, swung by. Maybe Kevin took him out to where Arlington Park is, and they drove separately. But then Ben swung through Arlington Heights and saw where you ate, where you were at on Sunday, John. Maybe that,
Yeah.
maybe that could
Do people
Could
not
have been
just go to
there.
Hackney's anymore?
No.
I wouldn't lose respect for Ben if he went to Hackney's, though.
Yeah, anywhere along Milwaukee and Wheeling, Bob Chin's, Boca de Beppo's, that's fine.
Let's get
If
Ben to
Ben went to
Carson's.
Barnaby, if Ben went to Barnaby's, we'd name him King
Yeah,
of
yes.
Chicago.
What a family establishment that is. Peanuts on the floor. I might be thinking of something else.
All right, that's enough of this.
Grab ass.
Grab ass. We will be back next week to review the Roller Dome, as we always do. So for Slack, for Matt, for John, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share, and subscribe. Until then, top guys out.